Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and just when it was looking as though the two parties were moving ahead with a debt ceiling deal, negotiations between Republicans and the White House broke down yesterday over, you guessed it, taxes. Belying reports that the GOP might be softening its stance on whether a debt ceiling deal could include some form of tax hikes, the GOP leadership announced that it couldn't continue discussions until Democrats took tax increases off the table. Republicans say a deal is almost in place, but the tax issue could sink it. Here's Speaker of the House John Boehner last night talking about his colleague Eric Cantor's decision to walk out.
I understand his frustration. I understand why he did what he did. But I think those talks could continue if they're willing to take the tax hikes off the table.
House Speaker John Boehner last night. Joining me now to talk all things a debt ceiling is Joe Schatz. He's a senior writer covering economic policy and politics on Capitol Hill for Congressional Quarterly with a focus on trade and tax issues. And Joe has covered Congress for a total of more than 7 years. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on.
So, Joe, the White House is leading these debt reduction talks, but Republicans pulled out last night arguing that President Obama now needs to get directly involved to resolve this dispute over including taxes in any final agreement. Eric Cantor saying that negotiators have reached an impasse and calling on Obama to step in and, quote, resolve the tax issue. How likely is that, Joe, that Obama will get directly involved?
I think it's very likely at this point. I think what happened yesterday wasn't entirely a surprise. You know, the timing of it was sort of dramatic, but the expectation has been for the last 2 months that the vice president, as well as these other lawmakers, would come up with as much of a package as they could to reduce the debt over about 10 years, the goal being that they would package that bill along with a debt limit increase and make it easier for Republicans to vote for it. The expectation was always that at a certain point they would have to leave the hard decisions to President Obama and to the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. And so what happened yesterday was sort of, you know, the next step in the negotiating process. And now the really tough stuff, again, will fall or will rise to Boehner and Obama. And I'd expect you're going to see the president get much more involved in the coming days. Actually, Wednesday night, he invited Boehner to the White House sort of unannounced, very quietly, to talk. And obviously they had their golf game last weekend. And I think so they're already talking about this. And I think what you'll see in the next few days will, you know, the negotiations will rise to the very highest levels.
And of course, House Majority Leader Cantor has been the GOP's representative for the past couple of months in the debt talks. Here he is earlier in the week before he walked out.
I don't see how multiple votes on a debt ceiling increase can help get us to where we want to go, which is we want big reforms, we want big spending cuts, and big changes to how this town works.
So for now, at least, he's turned his back on the process. Joe Schatz, Vice President Biden leading the effort for the Democrats. What's the ultimate goal? Let's take a step back.
Sure.
For people who may not be following it that closely, what are these folks trying to do in these negotiations?
Well, basically, there's a legal cap on the amount of money that the federal government can borrow, called the debt ceiling. And the government is approaching that debt ceiling, meaning come August 2nd, according to the Treasury Secretary, if Congress doesn't raise the cap on how much the government can borrow, the U.S. will risk a default. And, you know, the White House says that would, you know, the U.S. has never defaulted before. And if it did, that would create all sorts of economic problems, you know, could spark a new sort of financial crisis. So, you know, the Congress does this from time to time, usually every few years. This year, the vote is more contentious than it normally is because you have a lot of the freshman Republicans in the House who were elected based on a really sort of anti-spending sentiment, demanding that they will, as a price for their vote on the debt limit, on the debt ceiling increase, they'll demand major, major spending cuts. And so the vice president and leaders in both parties have been trying to figure out a package of debt reduction measures that would that would basically secure them the votes to pass the debt ceiling increase as sort of a package deal. And the point that we've come to now is that Democrats involved in these negotiations and the White House are demanding that if there are going to be spending cuts, then there also need to be tax increases. There needs to be some revenue. There needs to be a revenue portion of this equation. And that if they're being asked to give way on a lot of domestic spending programs that are very dear to them and even make changes to Medicare and Medicaid, then Republicans have to come to the table and give way at least on some sort of tax increases. And that's really where things have been for a while, and that's where they still are.
Is that the $14 trillion number that you write about in,
exactly,
in your current piece for Congressional Quarterly?
Right. The debt limit right now, it's set at $14.3 trillion. And so the government can't, unlike a lot of other countries, the U.S. government first it makes its spending decisions and its tax decisions, but then it has to make sure those decisions don't run up against the cap. Not every country has a statutory cap on the amount of debt it can have. We do, and the way it works is that Congress actually has to vote to increase it. The president can't just increase the debt cap himself, the debt ceiling himself. Congress has to agree to do it. And so right now it's at $14.3 trillion. It's technically been already hit. Treasury Secretary Geithner is basically juggling accounts right now. He's maneuvering behind the scenes to keep a default from happening. But his estimate is that he can't go farther than August 2nd in doing that. After August 2nd, he'll have done everything he can do. And after that point, you risk a default.
Now, President Obama may not be at the table yet in these negotiations, but he gave a speech in April, a deficit speech at George Washington University, where he said he wanted to trim $400 billion, that's with a B, billion, off projected discretionary security spending through 2023, the year 2023, while saving $770 billion. The numbers stagger me, so that's why I'm sorry.
Right.
You deal in these numbers every day, Joe, but the rest of us, it's kind of mind-boggling. So he wants to save $770 billion in non-security spending during the same period. And I mention all of this because I imagine that that speech and Obama's wishes must be providing an outline for these meetings, even if the president is not physically present in the negotiations.
Exactly. I mean, first of all, this is all big money. I mean, when you talk about reducing the government's debt over the long term, you're talking hundreds of billions and trillions. You're not talking in sort of billions and tens of billions. And basically, right, that the president has laid out where he stands in that speech in April, where he said he wants to reduce by $400 billion security spending, and beyond that, another $700 or $800 billion over the next 12 years. And he also wants, his stance is that a lot of the deficit reduction that he wants to see happen should also come from tax increases, should come from the revenue side of the budget. So that's his stance, and that's been there for a while now. Republicans take a much different view. They also have a similar goal of about $4 or $5 trillion in deficit reduction, but they want to get most of it from spending. They want to cut discretionary spending, the spending that Congress deals with on a year-to-year basis, by much, much greater extent than Obama does. And they want to put entitlement programs and the mandatory side of the budget, sort of the part of the budget that's on autopilot from year to year. They want to cut that to a far, far greater extent than Obama does. The biggest example of that, of course, is the Medicare plan that the House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan put out there, and which is really a non-starter with Democrats.
But didn't Eric Cantor say that he thought the group had made substantial progress toward identifying, quote, trillions, again with a T, in spending cuts, and to date we have established a blueprint that could institute the fiscal reforms needed to start getting our fiscal house in order, end quote? And if that's the case, why is he walking away?
Well, basically, right, everything we're hearing from the people involved with the talks is that they were able to reach agreement, sort of broad agreement, on a lot of the lower level. Again, this is big, big money, but in the way Congress works, it's sort of the lower level, less controversial stuff, like reducing farm subsidies, reducing federal, payments for federal pensions, stuff like that. They think they have broad agreement on cutting hundreds of billions of dollars from the budget to do those types of things and to reduce some domestic spending. But again, again, to get where you need to go in terms of the long term, you need to deal with Medicare. You need to deal with taxes. And what basically the House leadership right now, John Boehner, is demanding that when they raise the debt limit, that the size of the debt limit increase be matched or exceeded by spending cuts. So basically, if the president wants to increase the debt ceiling by $2.5 trillion, which is what it would take basically to get the government through 2012, past the next election, which would satisfy the government's borrowing needs through 2012, then you need $2.5 trillion in spending cuts. And you can't get there by doing a lot of the less controversial stuff. You can get a lot of money from cutting farm subsidies and from cutting, from auctioning off federal wireless spectrum, things like that. But to get the big money, you have to get into the entitlement programs, or you have to get into defense spending, or you have to get into tax increases.
And no one wants to talk about defense spending, probably less so than they want to talk about tax increases, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the defense spending has sort of been a sacrosanct for many years now, and the president has proposed a number of defense cuts over the next several years, which the new defense secretary Leon Panetta will be in charge of figuring out. Republicans are acknowledge that there's going to have to be some savings on the defense side, but they're reluctant to go as far as the president wants to go right now.
Now, we shouldn't talk about folks as a monolith, I guess. Let's talk about Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. Where does he stand? Is he backing Cantor in this decision to walk out? Has he made any statements since last night? Because he's a pretty significant figure in all of this.
Exactly. Yeah. Publicly, McConnell and the rest of the Republicans in the Senate are backing Cantor and the House Republican position, saying that Obama needs to take tax hikes off the table. In reality, they're sort of looking at McConnell in particular is looking at the writing on the wall, looking at the fact that it'll be really difficult to get a real long-term deal in the next month before August 2nd, that magic date. And as a result, on Sunday, he floated the idea that if Congress can't reach a deal in the next month, they could actually do a short-term, 2-3-4 month debt limit increase that would give the government what it needs, the borrowing space to get you into the fall as Congress continues to negotiate. The problem is for the House leaders, they prefer a long-term deal because they just don't know if they can get the votes for more than one debt limit vote. This is a toxic vote for a lot of folks, especially folks in the Tea Party. They don't want to have to take this vote to increase the debt limit more than once. And so you have a bit of a divide there between the House and the Senate Republicans. Republicans, are much more willing to deal on a short-term basis, whereas House Republicans want to get this done with.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Joe Schatz with Congressional Quarterly. Joe, I have a comment here on our webpage. He describes himself as an unhappy, self-described Republican listener. And he says, quote, this is on our It's a Free Country website. That's our political website. Quote, I am switching from Republican to independent because the pigheadedness of the present leadership upsets him so. While I agree with the Republicans on most social issues, they do not hold the moral high ground on fiscal issues. They are strictly for the rich. And I guess that is a reference, Joe Schatz, to the issue of taxes. Many of our listeners on these kinds of segments calling in to talk about tax exemptions for the very wealthy in this country, and Democrats spoke to that last night, did they not?
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that Democrats are arguing is that, again, they're open to some of these spending cuts, but that it has to be balanced. It has to be balanced with making, again, the wealthiest Americans pay a little bit more in taxes, also getting rid of some of the tax deductions that are enjoyed by various industries. In particular, Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, who's one of the negotiators on the Biden team, has talked about removing some of the exemptions for the wealthiest Americans. And so that's a big piece of this. And, Democrats in the White House, their current position, again, is that if they're going to come to the table on spending cuts, then the Republicans have to give. And the Republicans are really under increasing pressure to put tax hikes on the table. In the Senate, last week, Senate Republicans actually backed an amendment to another bill that that from Senator Tom Coburn that would basically get rid of some of the ethanol tax credits that are given in the ethanol ethanol industry. And it was seen by a lot of Democrats as sort of an opening of the door to Republicans considering some tax increases. But Republicans sort of draw a big distinction right now between those kind of industry-specific tax breaks and then raising marginal tax rates or raising taxes on the wealthy. They're just not ready to go there yet. So I think, you know, if a deal comes together, you may see some smaller tax increases, like on oil and gas companies, on things like ethanol. But again, it's hard to see right now how they get a deal on tax rates.
And what about Finance Chairman Max Baucus? He's a Democrat from Montana. He's got to be pretty disappointed about all of this. Did he say anything about the Cantor and Kyle decision to quit these discussions?
Yeah, I mean, like the rest of the Democrats, you know, he's disappointed. He thought they were making progress. And again, he has been particularly vocal about avoiding any big changes to Medicare and Medicaid. You know, a couple of years back when George Bush tried to change Social Security, Baucus was one of the biggest defenders of Social Security and helped kill the Bush plan to privatize Social Security. But again, the reality is here that this was sort of the next step in the negotiations. Everybody's just disappointed that the Biden group didn't produce a deal, but in the end, it was really always going to go to Obama and Boehner.
Now, let's take a listen. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Joe Schott, senior writer covering economic policy and politics on Capitol Hill for Congressional Quarterly. Let's take a listen. When we talk about Capitol Hill, we think about Harry Reid. Here's Harry Reid reacting to the Republican walkout.
It appears they're giving up. We can't give up. These issues that we're dealing with are far too serious. Democrats are not going to give up on cutting our deficit and creating jobs. But the Republicans should stop playing chicken and pushing us too close to that line.
So he asked the Republicans to stop playing chicken. But Joe Schatz, I guess they could keep playing chicken, can't they? There's really nothing to force them to stay at the table except, I guess, that August 2nd deadline, right?
Right. And, I mean, that deadline is the key thing here. I mean, you know, there are a number of Republicans, particularly the most conservative ones, the most junior ones right now, who say that, you know, you could get it. The Congress doesn't have to pass the debt ceiling increase; that it wouldn't be so bad. But most senior members of both parties, Boehner has said this himself, that you know the debt ceiling does need to be increased. That it would set back the economic recovery as slow as it's been. It would set back it even further if the debt ceiling was breached. And so he faces, you know, Boehner really faces a choice in the coming months. And what, you know, as the clock ticks down to August 2nd, is he willing to continue, you know, is he willing to play chicken, basically? Is he willing to risk that possibility of a default? Or is he willing to strike a deal with Democrats? The interesting thing in the House is that there are so many Republicans who have already said they're not going to vote for a debt ceiling increase really under any circumstances, that Boehner's going to have to rely on Democratic votes to get any deal through. And so there's going to come a point in the next several weeks where Boehner may have to make the decision about whether he's going to sort of keep making his conservatives happy or whether he's ready to strike a deal with Democrats to get this done. Because, again, he has said himself that the debt limit does need to be raised.
And so that's what he has to do. Give us the big picture, Joe, as we go out of this segment. What happens next?
Basically, President Obama and John Boehner are going to take control of this debate in the coming days or the coming weeks at least and see if they can hammer out a deal. And the question is whether they can come together and bridge these divides that have stymied a deal so far and that can get them a long-term agreement, or whether they'll have to settle for something less, whether it's a month or 2 months or 3 months, in order to stave off a default. And so really, you know, the climactic negotiations really begin now.
Well, that's what leadership is all about. Thank you so much, Joe Schatz, for helping us understand this debt ceiling debate. We appreciate your being here.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
My guest has been Joe Schatz of Congressional Quarterly. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, we'll take a listen to some of President Obama's speech last night at an LGBT fundraiser. As Albany debates, what did our president say about gay marriage, if anything?